Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it's time for Fast Track, and let's see, John, one side of the coin. One side of the coin is baseball resolves its financial differences, and the game comes back by the 4th of July. Other side of the coin, they all screw it up. Call it in the air.
I'm taking heads. Let's get it on.
4th of July baseball coming.
Let's get it on. Ireland, it's to you.
All right, over the weekend, Bryce Harper sent out an Instagram post with his idea for what a baseball season would look like this year. It's radically different than the one MLB has been talking about, and I have to admit, I think I like it better. Here's the heart of his proposal. You divide baseball into two conferences, East and West, like the NBA does.
Okay.
No divisions.
Yep.
You play 31 days in July, 31 days in August, 30 days in September, 31 days in October, and 15 days in November. So starting from July 1st until November 15th, you would have at least some baseball every single day. Each team would play 135 games, and each team would get an off day every 2 weeks on a Monday, and Sunday doubleheaders would be 7 innings each game.
Okay.
30-man rosters, 6-man pitching rotations. For the playoffs, a 10-team round-robin College World Series format. Maybe at the new Texas Stadium or whatever stadiums are best. 3-game series. You win the series and you move on. You lose. You play the other loser in a 1-game wild card. Winner of that moves on. Other team is out. So it's the same thing that Omaha does for the College World Series.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I'm going to be honest and say I think it's overly ambitious. That is an awful lot of baseball to be played, and I'm not sure why he wants 135 games, whereas ownership has suggested a plan of 82 games. The other concern is a lot of people in the public health world, and I'm not one of them, the Dr. Anthony Fauci's and, you know, the lady that wears the scarf at the conferences. What's her name?
I actually don't know. Yeah.
The lady in the scarf, people like that, say they're worried about not so much now, but if there's a flare-up in the fall, and maybe playing into November would not be a good idea for Major League Baseball. There are people that say, we think we're going to be able to start, we just don't know if we're going to be able to finish because of any increase in cases in the fall. So for that reason, I'm going to say no to Bryce Harper's plan.
I actually like it. I think it would be really, really fun, but you use the right word, overly ambitious. I think that 82 games is more reasonable, and we don't know what's going to happen when we start seeing positive tests, and they're going to come. You're going to get at least some positive tests. Let's leave a little leeway to adjust when that happens rather than schedule tons of games every single day for 5 months. So I would lean more towards baseball, even though Harper's proposal would be more fun to watch.
Funch? All right, so I just posted a new Culture Pop podcast. It is with Suzanne Summers.
No way, really? Snow.
Yeah, really, really nice. Nice lady. And she wrote a book called A New Way to Age, and it's an anti-aging book. John, she's got a bunch of ideas how you stay young. How do you stay young?
How do I stay young? I don't think I am young.
You don't feel like you're staying younger than the average 55-year-old? 57-year-old.
I'm 56. You were right. 56. You were right around it. Yeah, it's around it. I think that Lisa, my wife, is better at that. She eats right. I eat whatever I want. She sleeps good. I don't sleep at all. I don't think I will necessarily live to, like, both of my grandparents all four of my grandparents live to be between 85 and 90. I do not know if I will make it that far. My senses,
really?
My senses, I probably won't. My dad died a week short of his 84th birthday. I think my mom will live to be 90. She's going strong and is, you know, nothing slowing her down. But I don't think I necessarily am young. Do you feel young?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I'm staying younger than the average 55-year-old. I mean, I do yoga every day. I'm learning Spanish. Actually, I think that's one of the big things that you can do to stay young is to keep your mind working. I know that when my dad got old, his mind quit working, and I think that's why he passed away at an early age. My mom is 78 or something. I don't know. I'm ballparking these numbers. She's 78 or something, and she still goes to work at the school every day, and she's active, and she's doing stuff. She's going to museums and traveling to the Grand Canyon. I think that's the way to stay young is to keep your mind active and to find some way to get some exercise in every day. You're right, though. You do... Although you look exactly like you did when you were in college.
I mean, I know. I've seen pictures. It's ridiculous. Well, but one thing, you're talking about exercise. I played golf yesterday. I played golf today.
Yeah.
I'm up. I mean, I'm moving all the time. So I think I'm naturally active. That's not going to be a problem. I'm not afraid of getting old in any way. I just kind of live life as it is, and I'm not necessarily worried about aging.
See, I'll get old. I just don't want to feel old. And you know how long I want to. You know how long I want to live? Till a day before miserable. That's how long I want to live. And by the way, you can get the Suzanne Summers podcast at stevemason.com.
All right, let me ask you a couple questions about stuff if it came up.
Yes.
Okay. Did it come up that she basically ejected from Three's Company over a contract dispute?
Oh, yeah. She said she was making – John Ritter was making 15 times what she was making. And she went into a contract holdout and was fired. And she feels like she was on the, you know, on the cutting edge of women should be paid just as much as men, because she was arguably the biggest star on that show.
All right, and the other question is, you didn't grow up here, but if people who grew up in California, there used to be a shopping, a supermarket chain here called Alpha Beta. That was the name of the supermarket. Like
okay.
Ralph's is now, back then it was Alpha Beta. And Alpha Beta had a spokesman that did all of their commercials. He was this guy named Alan Hamill, and everybody knew Alan Hamill from the Alpha Beta commercials. He married Suzanne Summers. Like, that was the thing. Did he come up at all in this podcast?
Absolutely. I think you can actually hear him in the podcast. She's 73. They've been together for 50 years. They've been married for 40 years. At one point, he was apparently like the Johnny Carson of Canada. And when Suzanne Summers got to Los Angeles in 1970, she was discovered by Johnny Carson and almost immediately met Alan Hamill, and they've been together ever since.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah. It's a good interview. She's really, I really enjoyed it. You can get it at stevemason.com. Funch.
All right, Mace, on Friday, you know, we were talking about how LeBron did a bunch of stuff on The Uninterrupted last night. We played a lot of his comments. On Friday, The Uninterrupted announced that it will team up with Quibi for a docuseries called Sign Language. Do you know what that's about?
No, I don't.
It's the story of the Astros cheating scandal and how they cheated their way to a World Series win over the Dodgers in 2017. They also went to the World Series last year, losing to the Nationals. Let's say, and I don't know if this is the case, but let's say for the sake of this question, that anybody they ask to participate says yes, and that they all tell the truth. Accepting those two premises, who is the person you most want to hear from? Is it a player like Jose Altuve, Carlos Beltran, or Alex Bregman? Is it one of the guys who got fired, GM Jeff Luhnow, manager AJ Hinch? Is it bench coach Alex Cora? Who is the most important person to get if this documentary is going to work?
And they're going to tell the truth.
They're going to say yes, and they're going to be truthful.
Jose Altuve, he batted .347 that season. He was the American League most valuable player. I want to know exactly how much he was helped. By the way, that was, I think, 30 points more than he ever batted in his career. I want to know how much help banging on trash cans gave him, both in the regular season and in the postseason and in the World Series.
And again, let me make a plea to Quibi. I've been watching your Clippers thing. The first three episodes debuted on Sunday. More episodes are coming out tonight. Get rid of this stupid rule you have that you can't screen mirror onto a big screen TV. I know you want to be this hip, cool, trendy, you can only watch us on your phone thing. You've already admitted that you made a mistake. Flip the switch now so we can watch it with our friends and with our family, and we don't all have to gather around a phone. It is killing your business model. Wake up, Quibi. Your programming's good. Your model is broken. Fix it.
Katzenberg, get smart, dude.
Yeah, I will now step up my soapbox.
All right, Funch. But if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the Super Bowl, it will be a disaster for Vegas bookmakers. After the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers opened at 50-1 to win next season. Rumors began to grow. Brady leaving New England, Tampa viewed as a potential destination. Odds dropped to 20-1, then 15-1. Then Gronkowski signed. Tampa moved to 10-1. Right now, of all NFL future bets with Bovada, 31% of all the bets have been placed on the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. According to oddsmaker Pat Morrow, Tampa is on pace to become the biggest liability from a futures perspective in bookmakers' history. What kind of chances do you give Tampa to win the Super Bowl and wreck Vegas? And if I tell you to pick the two Super Bowl teams right now, who are they?
If I had to pick right now, I think I would pick... And I want to reevaluate this. I think I would pick Baltimore, New Orleans.
Wow. That's exactly what I have. Baltimore, yeah. New Orleans.
Only because it's really hard to repeat. So it'd be really hard for the Chiefs to go back and do it. And I don't necessarily think the Niners can get back. New Orleans has been very close 2 years in a row. They got, they lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship game on the controversial laid them out on a Waffle House frying pan, Nickell Robey Coleman, play.
I saw no controversy there.
And then, well, you know what people forget about that? After Coleman did that, they kicked a field goal and they just had to stop the Rams from going all the way down the field. The Rams went all the way down the field, kicked the tying field goal, and then Drew Brees threw an interception in overtime.
Yep, they had every chance to win.
They had plenty of chance to win. But then last year, remember, they had a great record, and then they lost in overtime to Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs. So I think New Orleans is due, but I'm not so sure that I wouldn't put Tampa right next to them.
Really?
Think about this. Who has a better chance to make it to the Super Bowl next year, San Francisco or Tampa?
San Francisco.
See, I think Tampa's right there with them. And then who do you
think... By the way, San Francisco is 7-1.
Who do you think wins the NFC East? You picking the Eagles?
No, I'm picking the Cowboys.
Okay. Would you put them ahead of Tampa? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. They are on par.
It's not like picking Tampa's crazy. They have a good coach. They have Brady. They now have Gronk and great wide receivers. They have a decent defense.
10-1. What an amazing story that would be. Tom Brady would be, if Tom Brady leads Tampa to a Super Bowl championship, frankly, if he leads them to the Super Bowl, it is such a remarkable thing to have on your resume. To be able to leave Bill Belichick and to go and win somewhere else. You sort of settled the argument.
Think about this. The Patriots basically gave up on Tom Brady. He's got a lot of money to leave, but they gave up on him. They made no attempts to really keep him. Years and years ago, the 49ers gave up on Joe Montana. They had Steve Young in the pipeline. They wanted to give the team to Young. They let Montana go to the Chiefs, and he almost got the Chiefs to their first Super Bowl since the Len Dawson years. He got them all the way to the AFC Championship game before losing. Kurt Warner, the New York Giants gave up on Kurt Warner. Remember, he was on the Rams, went to two Super Bowls, went to the Giants. The Giants gave up on him. Kurt Warner went to Arizona and got that team to a Super Bowl. And had Big Ben not pulled off that miraculous comeback, Kurt Warner would have done it. What Brady's trying to do, other guys have almost pulled off. Warner was within one play of pulling it off. Montana was within one game of pulling it off. It can't. Craig Morton, remember Craig Morton?
Oh, sure.
See, so Craig Morton was in Dallas playing behind Roger Staubach. He was the starter, and then they benched him, and then he went to Denver and got the Broncos to the Super Bowl against the Cowboys. So it wouldn't be far-fetched or ridiculous to suggest that Brady could do this. Other guys have come really, really close. And,
well, we're going to find out. New England, by the way, is 20-1. Tampa's 10-1. New England's 20-1.
By the way, another example. Colts gave up on Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Took the team in, and Peyton Manning went to Denver, and Denver won that Super Bowl with defense. You were at that Super Bowl.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Peyton Manning was the winning quarterback.
Vaughn Miller and C.J. Anderson won that Super Bowl.
Right. But at the very end of his career, Peyton Manning still gets credit for winning a second Super Bowl. If Brady
did, by the way, have the 50 touchdown year the year before in Denver,
right,
and then fell apart the year they won the Super Bowl.
So, but my point is that what Brady's trying to do has been done.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't rule it off as impossible.
By the way, Rams 28-1, Raiders 30-1.
Well,
I think the Rams should be better.
Okay. Well, what's interesting about that is, I'm surprised the Raiders are 30-1 because when you go 16-0 in the regular season,
yes,
they will have home field for the entire playoffs. So
yes,
it's pretty good. Pretty good odds, 30-1 for a team with home field.
Amazing
the whole
odds, absolutely. All right, more Fast Track is coming up for you next. Lindsay's got a question. Funch has got a question. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
All right, earlier John talked about a Houston Astros cheating documentary that will be produced by Uninterrupted.
Yep.
Now it is reported today that one of the heroes of that 2017 World Series Houston Astros team, Alex Bregman, has left Clutch Sports to find new representation.
Oh, interesting.
Now, guys, do you think that all of this is just a huge coincidence?
No,
absolutely not. That is absolutely tied to the fact that Uninterrupted, that LeBron's company, is now going to investigate the Houston Astros. That has to be, that's not an accident. Not an accident at all.
Yeah, and Bregman, by the way, I'm convinced, is right in the middle of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think his numbers may drop substantially this year. Let's see. Because he was one of those guys, when you look at the home road splits, that were night and day.
Oh, yeah. Huge, huge home road splits.
That's a very interesting, what's the word? What do they call it? Conflict of interest. You know, because at what point do, Clutch and the agency part of it? I know that they're different, technically a different company, but they're all under.
Actually, that's
same...
an interesting question, Lindsay. I mean, at what point isn't that a conflict of interest? To have a, I know they're technically separate. But for LeBron's agency representing a Houston Astro, while LeBron's production company is doing an expose of what the Astros did in 2017, it does seem to be a conflict of interest.
Or is it just vertical? Is it obviously what's the conflict? Do you think that LeBron's the Uninterrupted will go soft on the Astros?
Well, the fact that Alex Bregman left the agency, my guess is no.
How do you go soft? It's unclear to me how you go soft on the Astros.
Well, Michael Jordan, the last dance was his version of events. Maybe Alex Bregman knows what's coming, and they're not going to go soft on him, but they just as easily could have gone the other way. They could have done a story on the Astros called Sign Language in which all
and
the
how
Astros...
great how great Alex Bregman was.
Yeah, and all the Astros participating in it, and it's just a spin of for the Astros side of that story.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that would be that would also be a conflict of interest, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, is there such a thing anymore? I mean, everybody is in bed with everybody.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got, he's got an agency, got a production company. It's difficult with LeBron a lot. I mean, Steph Curry has a production company. Kevin Durant has all sorts of investments. It's really tough to keep it all straight now.
Well, here's a good example. We're owned by ESPN is owned by Disney.
Yep.
Disney has very lucrative contracts with all the leagues.
Sure.
With the NBA, with, I know Bill Simmons felt that one of the reasons he ended up leaving ESPN is because he was very, very critical of Roger Goodell. And he thought it made his bosses mad. Now, that could be Bill's version of events, and it didn't really happen. But John Skipper, who was the one who didn't renew Bill's contract, actually came back and did a podcast with Bill after they had both left the company and talked that all. But Bill still believes to this day that that was one of the reasons why it was never going to work, because he wasn't allowed to be fully critical of the league partners. So stuff like this goes on all the time.
Yeah, it seems like there's more vertical integration, which is naturally going to create. Although there's nothing quite like LeBron. There's nothing quite like the sports agency, which technically isn't his, but is his. The production company, which is his. There's nothing quite like that exists in sports. It's the agency representation piece that is the tough one. Although I guess if CAA represent athletes and they represent artists who could potentially make a film or a documentary about one of their acts. So I guess that's totally,
well,
it exists elsewhere.
Let me personalize it very briefly. I'm not anymore, but very briefly, I was repped by CAA, who reps a lot of players. If I find out something about a player, do I not report it because we have the same agency?
Right, right. So these conflicts are everywhere. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, though.
All right, Funch. Lindsay.
All right. So there was a bit of a snafu with the fans in the stands. Well, the fake fans, I guess you would want to call them, in an FC Seoul. How do you say that?
S-E-O-U-L.
Seoul.
Seoul.
I know that, but I always just...
Mason, you've been to Seoul, have you not?
I've been to Seoul, yes. Beautiful town.
Oh, good. Then maybe you could speak to what happened with FC Seoul, their soccer team, and sex dolls.
Yeah.
So apparently, they decided to hire a company to fulfill their order for their mannequins that they would have in the stands. You know, we saw, like, at the Korean Baseball League and in Taiwan that they were putting mannequins and cardboard cutouts in the stands.
Right.
And FC Seoul decided, oh, well, this company we're going to put our order in with. They also make sex dolls, but that's okay because they make regular clothing mannequins as well. But I guess what happened was spectators noticed that some of the mannequins happened to look a little bit different than your average run-of-the-mill clothing store mannequins and made a lot of comments on social media about said mannequins. Now, I sent you guys the link to the story.
Yep.
Because I want you to see the photos of these mannequins that had a lot of people pretty upset because, you know, they're mannequin sex dolls apparently, and they had pointed things out like, let's see. I'm trying to find some of the comments.
Some mannequin sex doll comments?
Yeah, well, some people made comments saying that they were upset. Here we go. Look at their breasts, one supporter of the team wrote. They were four times bigger than those of normal mannequins. I don't know why somebody would notice that looking at a regular photo of mannequins just holding up some signs that say, go team. But other people said, you know, they were tweeting and commenting all kinds of stuff. They said that FC Seoul's efforts to show games for all the family had totally undermined and failed. I don't see any problem in these photos other than the fact that, yes, some of the mannequins happen to have larger breasts than your average mannequin. But I don't see what the problem is. I think the fact that like a whole bunch of people would get all up in arms about something so silly, especially when they're wearing masks over their mouths, they're fully clothed. How else would you know that they're a sex mannequin unless you're like hip to that sort of thing?
Right, unless you recognize her.
I am, that's number one. Number two, I am fascinated by the fact that, all right, so let's say, Lindsay's 100% right here. Let's say that regular fans were allowed to come to a game, okay?
Yep.
And a bunch of porn stars bought a block of tickets and came dressed like these mannequins.
Which are wearing perfectly normal clothes.
Correct.
Yeah, they're wearing pants and long sleeve shirts.
Correct.
Jerseys from the
Would
team?
Everyone object to the porn stars being there, even though they're dressed just like all the other fans? No.
I don't think so.
I don't get, what is the outrage here?
I'm assuming are half of these mannequins and half of these sex dolls? Is that what I'm looking at?
I think so.
I think they're all sex dolls.
Or are they all sex dolls? Because they look like perfect representations. I mean, it's fakery. It's weird, right? But to have mannequins or sex dolls in the stands. But they've all got masks on.
They're and quite some of them, I'll say this. They're quite attractive for mannequins.
And some of them are raising their arms up in the air and cheering and, you know, have one arm up. And, I mean, I don't see any problem with it. If we need to fill seats at Dodger Stadium with sex dolls, I say do it.
Right. I don't see what the big deal is. And I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being, you know, out of line. But the people that were complaining about this seem ridiculous, so much so that the team actually released a statement. They wrote in the statement, "We had confirmed the mannequins were made as if they were real, but had nothing to do with adult products." So again, so what if they do? They apologized and said they were deeply sorry for what had happened and that
for
the supplier claimed that they are clothing mannequins. How would you know?
Okay, so let's ask a practical question here, a local question. When, and we assume all the financial stuff gets worked out and the health stuff gets worked out and risk is minimized and all that stuff, and we get baseball at Dodger Stadium. Are they really going to put mannequins in there, or is that too weird? I mean, forget about sex dolls, just mannequins. Are fake fans going to make any sense at a game at Dodger Stadium? Do you really?
Great. Yeah.
But what I think is going to happen is they're going to CGI the fans in there, like in a movie. So in other words, the stands will be empty, but when we watch the games at home, they'll make it appear like the fans are there, and they'll also blend in crowd noise. It's going to look like a regular game when we watch it on TV, but inside Dodger Stadium, it'll be empty.
Well, I will say, to blend this with another future Fast Track story that I had, the NC Dinos, one of our awesome KBO teams,
yes.
They gave fans the chance to send in their life-size cutouts of their faces. So then they had their staff glue their faces, their photos, onto their cardboard cutout fans. And so that way, when you look in the stands, you could be like, "Hey, look, Mom, I'm on TV." Like, you could see yourself in the stands. And
well,
I think that's really cool.
I got to say, that's actually kind of cool. You know, it's what Jacob Imrani does at the Laker games on the big board, where fans, I guess they Instagram their selfie to Jacob, and then they put the faces on those little cars that race around.
Oh yeah,
the selfie race.
Yeah. By the way, if you
kind of like that,
remember that friend of mine, Danny, had the idea to put iPads in all the seats. If you put the iPads in, you could see yourself on television.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the options are all over the place here. All right, more Fast Track coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Okay, Phyllis George passed away over the weekend. She was Miss Texas, went into TV broadcasting, was the first woman to ever be put on an NFL Network pregame show when she joined Brent Musburger, Irv Cross, and Jimmy the Greek Snyder on CBS's NFL Today show in the 1970s. As you pointed out yesterday, Mason, I didn't know this until you did, she was only there for 3 years.
Yeah.
But she made such an impact that most people thought she was there longer. After she passed away, Brent Musburger tweeted that George didn't receive nearly enough credit for opening the sports broadcasting door for women. But if you look at the NFL pregame shows today, nobody at CBS, Fox, or NBC is female. Women have excelled in other areas, but not in the role that Phyllis George did. Has the door she opened been sort of closed somehow now?
Wow, that's an interesting question. You know, I remember my dad, when that, and by the way, that was a state of the art pregame show. That was a great show. And Phyllis George was fantastic. But I remember my dad saying things like, what does she know about football?
Sure.
My dad was totally sexist. I remember him saying stuff like that.
I have a family friend of my mom and dad, that says that now. Says it today.
But, I mean, you look at, for example, the NFL show, The Daily Show on ESPN is hosted by Susie Colbert.
And Wendy Nix. Wendy Nix does it a lot.
Yeah. Right. Laura Rutledge covers a ton of college football for ESPN. I see her on the Get Up all the time. So I would say that there are women who are doing more substantial stuff than Phyllis George ever got to do. Don't you think?
I totally agree. Yeah, my question was somewhat tilted. Like, there's no Rachel Nichols right now if Phyllis George didn't come along first.
Correct.
And, you know, there's no one more qualified to host The Jump, male or female, than Rachel.
Agreed.
You know, Beadle was excellent in that role when she did stuff like that. There are more women in more prominent
positions. Rhea Taylor, fantastic.
Who hosts the NBA pregame show when Rachel can't do it.
Yep.
So Phyllis did open some doors. It is weird that none of the NFL pregame shows have that. By the way, Phyllis George was responsible for getting one of the great answers to a question of all time out of Roger Staubach.
Huh, you know what was it?
You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
So she goes to do, in the 70s, she goes to do a interview with Staubach, who, remember, was kind of the all-American guy. He won the Heisman Trophy at Navy. He came out of the Naval Academy, became the quarterback for America's team, went to the Cowboys. And Phyllis asked him something along the lines of, hey, you're the quarterback of America's team, but Joe Namath, who's the quarterback of the Jets, is kind of America's playboy. He dates a lot of different starlets. He seems to be living the all-time great bachelor life. Are you jealous at all that you don't get to do that? And Staubach's answer was fantastic. He said, well, I'd like to think that I do everything that Joe Namath does in terms of socially and with, you know, with the opposite sex. The difference is I do all of it with one girl. Because Staubach was married at the time. And he goes, Joe has more variety, but I like to think that we're living the same life. And I thought, what a great answer. Matter of fact, see if you can find that. Like, Google that on YouTube and see if it's around. But I thought that was one of the great answers of all time. And that was an interview that Staubach did with Phyllis, who was able to get athletes to say stuff like that all the time.
Roger Staubach was an unbelievable investor in his life. He is now 77 years old. He is worth $600 million.
Good for him.
Yep. He has killed it in the real estate market. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
Oh, he was searching for that.
Yeah, it's to you.
Okay. So it's time for a little name that tune by title. By title of song. This has been going much better than you thought, John.
Yeah, I thought this would make the game almost impossible, but instead it's made it more competitive.
Yeah, it's very competitive now. So it's John versus Lindsay. Name that tune. You need the title of the song. Here is song number one.
Lindsay.
John.
Lindsay.
Like a Prayer.
Like a Prayer is absolutely correct. That's the dial Like a Prayer.
Got there late, yeah.
Lindsay on the board. Here is song number two.
John. That is the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Immigrant Song, absolutely correct, and it is 1-1. Also the Big Avengers theme song. All right, it's 1-1. Here is song number three.
Lindsay. Isn't it called Yummy Yum?
It is called Yummy. Yes, it is. That's
Justin Bieber, right?
Bieber.
Yeah.
The song is called Yummy. Yes, it was right there in the clue. All right, it's Lindsay 2-1. Here is song number four.
John. Where the Streets Have No Name.
Absolutely correct. Where the Streets Have No Name, and we are 2-2.
Wasn't getting that one, that's for sure.
You're not a U2 fan?
No, except for the
classic
album that
you're a classic rock person, though, aren't you, Lindsay?
Yeah, I like classic rock, not the album they forced on my iPhone 10 years ago or whatever it was.
You still won't forgive them for that. All right.
No.
John and Lindsay are 2-2, right?
This is the decider?
This is for everything. Funch, hit it.
Lindsay. It's Baby Shark.
It's Baby Shark. Yes, it is.
I don't think I would have got that. Well, you know what? I would have got the name of it. Who sings it?
And we don't need the artist. We don't need the artist. We only need the title.
That's
I have no idea who sings it. Yeah.
I don't even know where that song like became popular.
It became popular with babies.
All right, so here's the weird thing. The only reason I know about that song is there was some guy on the Nationals that whenever they brought him in to pinch hit during the playoffs against the Dodgers and in the World Series, that the whole crowd, they would play that song and the whole crowd would do the shark motion. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes. I do. It is.
It was Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, they would bring him in and everybody in the whole crowd would start singing this song.
Yep.
Now, see, Lindsay, does a little part of me just died. Doesn't it feel better when you win?
Nah.
Oh, hell yes, it does, Lindsay.
It feels great, but you put up a good game.
Yes, a good game, John. Well played. Still a great night. All right, Funch.
All right, Mesa. A couple of weeks ago, Lindsay sent us a video of Mike Tyson doing some boxing training, and he looked good. She asked us if he made a comeback, could he fight today? Now it appears it could be happening. Tyson and Evander Holyfield are talking about a fight for charity that could happen later this year. Tyson turns 54 in June, while Holyfield turns 58 in October. Tyson hasn't fought since losing to Kevin McBride in 2005, and his last victory came in 2003. Holyfield's last fight came in 2011, a TKO of Brian Nielsen. You might remember the last time Tyson and Holyfield met was 1997 when Mike bit off a part of Evander's ear.
Oh, yes, I remember it well.
One of back-to-back losses for Tyson to Holyfield. Now, let's say they price this fight reasonably. I'll say $14.99, $15. Would you pay to watch it?
How much?
$15, $14.99.
I'd pay more than that. First of all, it's
58 fight a 54-year-old.
First of all, it's for charity.
All right, let's play a game. How high would you go? Would you go $29.95?
Is it a tax-deductible donation? If it's for charity?
I don't know if you can fully tax-deduct it. Let's say it isn't, to make
let's say, okay,
let's
just
say. Let's say it's not,
say,
but the money goes to charity.
Yeah, let's say it's for COVID relief.
Okay, good.
How much are you willing to pay?
Yeah, will you go $49.95?
Yeah.
I'd pay $50 for it.
I'd pay $50.
How about $99?
Probably not.
No.
That's where, somewhere in the middle of that is where you guys go up.
$49.99 with all the money going to COVID relief? Hell yes. Sign me up. I think it'll be fun.
I think more than $50, they lose me.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I'm surprised you guys are willing to go that high. Like, I buy every fight no matter what it costs because I'm an idiot, but...
No, I'm John Ireland. I buy every fight because
no.
I can.
I, like, for example, I never, ever buy a
Lindsay.
UFC... No, I never buy a UFC fight, Lindsay. Never have.
Well, you got it with ESPN Plus now.
Get the pay-per-views.
Oh, right. You still have the pay-per-views, right.
And I never buy MMA. Like, I never buy the Dana White stuff. Is that the same thing?
Dana White is.
It is the same thing. But there's also Bellator. It's okay.
Yeah. So, but I boxing, I'm a sucker. I buy. So does Michael Thompson. We both buy those fights no matter what they cost. Like, I paid for that dumb... Conor McGregor
Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah,
I went to a party for that. I didn't pay for it at home. I was at Marcellus Wiley's house for that.
I think I paid $79 for that.
I'm dropping a name. Yes.
Yeah,
it's heavy name.
Wait, he worked with us at the time.
Yeah, he was our afternoon guy.
He had to make it a point to say I went to Marcellus Wiley's for that fight.
You are all over everybody. John's rich, and I'm a name dropper.
Yes, totally.
And you're picky.
Normally, you guys embrace these things.
You're nitpicky. You're a nitpicker.
She's not wrong.
Picking nits. All right, more Fast Track coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on for Fast Track, and it's to me. So we mentioned yesterday that 86-year-old Fred Willard died over the weekend. He was in the studio once for us for some reason. Nice man, really nice guy. Played Ed Harkin, the station manager, and Anchorman 1 and 2, For Your Consideration, Best in Show, hilarious, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. He was a supporting player, but always, always, always funny. So in honor of the late, great Fred Willard, and this is one of those ones, I ask you the question, you give me the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay.
I ask you, funniest actor of all time, what's your answer?
The name that popped into my head, I don't know why, was Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy is
that
a totally
ridiculous answer?
Not at all. Not at all. I think that's totally...
The second name that popped into my head was Jim Carrey. But Eddie Murphy, I pictured Eddie Murphy, Nutty Professor, 48 Hours, that guy.
Lindsay, what popped into your head?
Dave Chappelle.
Very good
answer.
That's
a good one. Funch?
Eddie Murphy.
And for me, it's Will Ferrell. First name?
Yeah.
Will Ferrell. Some of my favorite comedies. It's an interesting test. It's the first thing that you think of. Other guys that could have been on the list, you mentioned Robin Williams, Steve Martin, Adam Sandler, depending on who you are. All good answers. Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, all good. Funch.
All right, I got a game. If you watched The Last Dance, you saw a bunch of former Chicago Bulls, most of whom won at least one title in the 90s. I have a list of players. All of these players played for the Bulls at some point. Each player on this list either won at least one title with the Bulls or didn't. So you guys tell me, yes or no, did this player win a title in Chicago? That's the game, okay? Lindsay, Fred Hoiberg.
I'm going to say yes.
Funch.
No, he did not win.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, he did not win.
No, he did not win. Funch and Mace are on the board.
Did he come after? Didn't he come after everybody?
Yeah. He came after the run.
I'm going to be terrible at this for what it's worth.
Funch, Pete Myers.
Ooh.
Pete Myers.
Oh, my God.
Pete Myers was his most famous role in the doc was when Scotty refused to go in the game.
Yeah, he was actually the guy to replace Michael.
The guy that throws the inbounds pass to replace Scotty.
Yeah, yeah.
And throws the inbounds pass to Tony Kukoc.
I think he did not win. I don't think he didn't win.
You're saying he did not win a title.
No, he did not win.
Okay, Mace.
I think he was exactly in that window where he did not win a title.
Lindsay.
Well, I'm going to say he did.
Lindsay, you should have gone with the crowd. Pete Myers played 3 years, never won a title. All right, Mace, Stacey King, now a broadcaster for the Bulls. Stacey King, did he ever win a title in Chicago?
I'm going to say yes, he did.
Lindsay?
No, I'm going to say no.
French, break the tie.
Yes, he did.
He won two. Stacey King won two. So it's Funch 3, Mason 3, Lindsay not on the board yet. All right, Lindsay, Andrew Lang, yes or no, did he ever win a title?
I'll say no.
Funch?
No.
Mace?
I'm going to say no.
All three of you are correct. Andrew Lang played for the Bulls, never won a title. Funch, former Laker Chuck Nevitt. I think he's the tallest Laker of all time. 7'5". Chuck Nevitt. Did he ever win a title with the Bulls?
No, he did not.
Mace.
Funch knows his stuff, and he said it was such certainty. I'll say no, he did not.
Lindsay.
Same. He did not.
Oh, Funch, you suckered him. He did win a title. He played four games for the Bulls in 1992, right in the middle of the first three-peat, and was given a ring.
Four games.
So, Funch 4, Mason 4, Lindsay 1. Mace, JoJo English, former first-round pick of the Bulls. JoJo English, did he ever win a title?
I will say... I'll say yes.
Lindsay?
Well, I'm going to say no.
Funch, break the tie.
No.
Mason and... no, it's just Mason.
Just Mason.
Yeah. JoJo English won a title in 1993.
Oh!
All right. Okay, so Mason 5, Funch 4, and Lindsay 1. Mace, this would be a major upset if you beat Funch in this game.
This would be a tremendous upset, yeah.
Okay. Mace, you went first that time, right?
Yep.
Lindsay, Larry Krystowiak. Did he ever win a title with the Bulls, Lindsay?
No.
Funch?
No.
Mace?
No.
No is the correct answer. He played 1 year for Chicago in 1994. All right. Funch? Jack Haley?
Yes.
Mace?
Yeah, for sure.
Lindsay?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, for sure people are all correct, but here's the funny thing. Jack Haley, played one game for the Bulls in 1996.
He was just Rodman's babysitter.
Right, but they did win the title that year, so he gets credit.
Did you get a ring for that?
Game, I think so, yeah. So Jack Haley had one win. All right, two of these left. Mason 6, Funch 6, Lindsay 3. Hersey Hawkins. Mace, Hersey Hawkins.
No, he did not.
Lindsay.
I'm going to say yes. What the heck?
Funch, break the tie.
Hersey Hawkins?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
No is the correct answer. This sets up a tremendous final.
Oof.
Mace, 7. Funch, 7. Lindsay, 3.
I was like a three-name underdog in this match.
You were. And here's the one that will decide it. Hall of Famer Robert Parrish. Mace, did he ever win a title with the Bulls?
God, it seems so random to throw him out there. I'm going to say yes.
Funch.
Yes.
Lindsay. This is worth 7, by the way.
I'm going to say
well, yes. Only way you win is to say no.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say no.
Okay, yeah. You, it was yes. So, Mace, you actually tied Funch. It's very impressive.
What?
Robert Parrish actually played 43 games for the 1997 Bulls, the middle of the three-peat. But, Mace, very respectable
Thank
tying
you.
Funches for that title right there. That
Thank
was
you very
excellent.
Much. All right, let's do one last one. Wyoming is the first state to reopen strip clubs amid the coronavirus pandemic.
Strippers are people, too.
The women are all nude except for masks. It's an odd accessory for women wearing a mix of G-strings, bikinis, lingerie, and nothing at all. To celebrate its grand reopening, clubs are throwing masks on, clothes off parties all over the state. At the strip clubs, hand sanitizer is everywhere, yet dancers are also touching patrons and exchanging cash. Social distancing is not possible when there is a lap dance. Strip clubs, I get it, but lap dances can't possibly be safe. Should lap dances be banned at Wyoming and all strip clubs during this crisis?
Now, I would defer to medical experts, but a lap dance with both people wearing masks, I'm just asking, is that still dangerous?
As long as you wash your hands, it shouldn't be, right?
I think it's got to be. You're still breathing. The masks are not impermeable. Like, you can breathe through them.
Right, and nobody's wearing gloves, right? So you
and,
could definitely
right. and
transfer
you're supposed
the virus through your hands.
And even with masks, you're supposed to be keeping social distance. So I think lap dances are done for a while.
Well, the other thing is, if she's taking money, if the stripper is taking money.
And she would.
And then moving over to the next guy. I mean, she's not washing her hands after she takes each dollar.
Yes.
So I think it would still be a risk. I have to say that they should be outlawed.
Yep, they should be outlawed. No question. Wyoming, watch out. It's only got 250,000 people, Wyoming, the whole state.
Yeah,
more
what was that one?
Like that, Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, we had that one story about a drive-through stripper place in Portland where you could watch them through the window of your car. Yeah, I don't mean to hate on strippers, but I think you got to end the lap dances.
Yep, absolutely. All right, coming up next for you, it's time, people. It's time right now. Got to get you in the mood. Along comes Sliwa. We're going to do some crosstalk. It's Sliwa at sunset. The 30 most awkward minutes in radio start next. 710 ESPN. ESPN Los Angeles.
Sports.
Catchiest jingle in the world. And, of course, the theme music rolls in right now. There's a mood. There's an attitude. There's a sense in the air when Sliwa rolls in at sunset. Alan Sliwa, what's going on?
just poured my bourbon, turning on the fireplace.
Nice. Your fireplace
the
is
The fireplace,
not
it's 70
tonight.
Degrees outside.
It's a beautiful night.
70 degrees at 400 square feet here. Yeah. Not that much room for a fireplace.
Have you taken a Claritin? Because it sounds like you've
Come on.
Got a nasal
Again?
You know, Alan, I take a Claritin every day.
John, does this sound nasally?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It either sounds nasally or like you're very far away or in a bathroom.
It sounds like you're very far away from your microphone.
Okay, how's this? Is that better?
Still nasally, but
yeah, I don't think I did anything different.
Yeah, but seriously, the nasal part.
Okay,
it's the 30 most awkward minutes in radio, so it's okay that you don't take a Claritin.
How forward do you look to 6:24? Like when you kind of vision that. Are you just sitting there looking at the clock as we get closer?
Yeah, no, I've got a clock in my head. It's winding down, winding down. When is this going to be over? You know, I was thinking about this.
Slim. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night, ABC Network, the network,
mm-hmm.
is going to be airing Game 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals in prime time. How there is no other game that is of that magnitude.
Wait a minute. ABC?
ABC. ABC.
That game aired on NBC with Bob Costas calling the game.
Yeah,
that's what's going to be weird about it.
Yeah, ABC is going to be airing the game live. I think. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah,
live.
Well, no, clearly not live.
You said live. Just to make sure.
They're airing it live.
You didn't say live.
go figure. They're airing it live. Yeah, I think this is right. Do I have it right? Am I wrong, Sliwa?
Double check here. I didn't know they were airing the game.
I don't know. Okay, so while you're trying to figure that out, Funch has found the Roger Staubach question about sex. Here was Phyllis George in 1975.
Roger, you have an all-American image. You're kind of a straight guy. Do you enjoy it, or is it a burden?
You interviewed Joe Namath. Everyone in the world compares me to Joe Namath, you know, as far as, you know, the idea of off the field. He's single, bachelor swing, and I'm married and family, and, you know, he's having all the fun. And, you know, I enjoy sex as much as Joe Namath. Only I do it with one girl, you know? But it's still fun.
There you go. One of the great answers of all time. He just does it all with one girl.
By the way, okay,
I got that
information from Morales. If he's wrong, and I let off a segment with that, it's on him.
That's not right. That's not right by Morales.
Okay, here it is. 1998 NBA Finals, Game 6, the movie.
The movie?
Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Pacific time. I guess it'll probably be at 9 o'clock Pacific time also. But supposedly it is Game 6 plus additional stuff that we've never seen before. So, again, I'll ask. Has there been a game in the history of the world of this magnitude that you would show on prime time on a network?
I don't see anything about it going on a network. I'm only seeing ESPN, but I could be wrong.
Okay, this is
ESPN.
From Morales. Call Morales right now.
It says ESPN.
Yeah, it's not on one of the big networks.
Okay.
It's on ESPN.
That's, you know what? This is why okay, Morales is now officially banned from our calls. He's now officially banned from our calls. He gave me bad information today. Is done.
Chris is very mad at me, so I'm staying out of this.
Well, let me tell you, I'm in it. Lindsay, make a note of it. He's off our calls. He misled me today.
I think it's ESPN.
Well,
it's airing on ESPN.
Yeah. Okay. Well, every classic.
Are you sure?
Game is
wait a minute.
ESPN.
Are you? Yeah. 2 hours ago, you said you'd never interviewed Magic Johnson, and we know you've interviewed him twice. Are you
Lindsay,
sure?
Is that not
that Chris,
what Morales?
Are you sure
I don't
Chris
remember him saying
say...
that because I feel like I would have. I could be wrong, but maybe
Wait.
I just wasn't. I don't.
Point
I
of
don't...
clarification. Did he say it's airing on a network, or did he say it's airing on ESPN? Because ESPN is a network.
Well, it is, but he said, can you imagine the magnitude of a game that would, and the reality is ESPN's been airing old games
since the pandemic
started. 2 months now.
Yeah.
So he said, can you imagine the magnitude? I mean.
So maybe he was misinformed somehow.
Well, yeah, but you don't pass along misinformation.
But
if you have misinformation, you don't tell other people the misinformation.
Oh, we do it every day.
Went to tomorrow on the guide, Spectrum.
Yep.
ABC, 6 o'clock, Eyewitness News.
What, Alan, what's on at 8?
What's on at 8 or 9?
Okay, we go Moana. What is that? M-O-A-N-A.
Those are in Moana.
Moana is 2 hours, so that takes care of 8 and 9.
It's a very good movie.
And then Holy Moly at 10 p.m. So,
oh, Holy Moly. Sure. That's the Steph Curry show.
Pretty sure that's we're not
okay,
getting that.
Okay, bad news. Information yeah. for Morales. There you go. He's banned for one call, Lindsay.
Or did he just say it's on ESPN and you misinterpreted it?
I choose my truth is
there,
that he told me.
There is no such thing as your
it was on ABC.
You idiot.
That is my truth. That is my truth. All right, so you can watch it on ESPN. But it's not as big a deal. It is called ESPN Game 6, the movie, and they did add a bunch of stuff to it that they were able to uncover. So I don't exactly know what the new stuff is, but that's what they're doing. John, once an hour you're supposed to be talking about this. The big golf matchup, set this up, you versus Travis, part two, part deux. Tell me, what's
it's
up?
Saturday, Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. It's the second Ireland versus Travis showdown. Travis won the first one, and the bet is, again, the loser has to pull a double shift. And so when I lose, because Travis is a little better than me, I'm going to have to do the morning show, and I'm going to then have to do the show with you later that day. And if I somehow upset Travis, then I get the whole day off, and Travis works with you in the afternoon. Now, Lindsay, have we reached out to Travis about appearing on this program tomorrow?
I have not yet, but I will do that right now.
I imagine he should be fairly easy to book.
Yeah, I would think he's available. And
he can make time in his busy schedule.
I know, Mace, if you need, I know some people I could reach out to.
Okay, good.
Now, that would be great, Alan.
And by the way, this is all brought to you by our friends at Coors Light, where right now you can order Coors Light right to your door. Go to get.coorslight.com, and your Coors Light is on its way. That's get.coorslight.com.
All right,
Sliwa, you might want to do that tonight.
Mace, I just thought of something to add to the showdown. Tell me if this is a good idea or a bad idea, okay? I can't believe I'm even going to offer this, because I think I'm going to get smoked. I've never played golf with Morales. I don't know if he's any good. He plays a lot. Okay?
Okay.
He's playing with us. If he beats me, I have to go on the call.
Oh.
If I beat him, he's banned from the call.
Oh, I love this.
What do you think?
I love this.
I don't know if I can take him. I don't know how good he is, but I'll just throw it out there. Okay.
What? Okay. Let's.
Rumor has
it that is
good. Just let you know.
Okay.
That is absolutely gives us some extra action on that game. So
there you go.
So,
John, how close was that first matchup between you and Travis?
I shot 84. Travis shot 80.
Okay.
So after nine holes, we were tied, and then he boat raced me on the back nine. And I actually think he beat me on, like, the 15th or 16th hole, so it wasn't even that close. But let's and neither one of us have been playing because of the pandemic, so who knows?
So wait a minute. Do the Morales bet again. The Morales bet again. If you
on
win.
That, okay, on the day that – whatever day it is that I'm going to have to pull the double shift. If I win, Morales is banned from the call. And if he wins, I have to do the call.
Ooh.
Which
so that means you really don't want to do the call, and you really want to stick me with Morales.
Correct. And so it makes the stakes really high for me, because I would get an entire day off where I don't have to talk to any of you.
Or you have to do both shows and the call.
The morning show, the call, with Morales on it, and then do Mason and Ireland all on the same day.
Wow. That is a monster
day. That doesn't
day.
Motivate me to get my head out of my you-know-what. I don't know what show.
So you need to beat both Travis and Morales.
Yeah, and I have a feeling Morales is probably better than both of us.
It sounds like he plays nonstop.
What's that?
It sounds like he plays nonstop. Plus, he plays black gold all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I probably made a bad bet there.
Sleewa, are you golfing much?
It's a bit.
I golf probably 3-4 times a year. Not much at all.
Really?
Are you any good? A lot of actually the tournaments that ESPN, when we usually do those tournaments, that's pretty much the only time I golf. Am I any good? No, not that good.
Not that good or just awful? I'm awful. I mean, shockingly bad.
I did see Carlo put that up. What was it, like a month ago?
Yeah, screw
you
Carlo.
Trying to get out of the bunker?
Yeah. Screw Carlo. Keep sweating that.
By the way, that's not an easy bunker to get out of.
Terrible, like terrible bunker.
Right.
And Ireland, by the way, totally screwed me over because I could have just taken a 2-stroke loss and just
New rule: you could just take it out of the bunker and take a 2-stroke penalty. Instead, you took like 9 shots.
Yeah, and you never told me that. You told me just keep hacking away.
I told you after. I figured.
Yeah, you told me after.
I figured you'd want the challenge. I was wrong, obviously.
Yeah, you were wrong. I wrenched my back.
Well, if you remember, I got in there and took one swing, and what happened?
John, you live on a golf course.
Correct.
You're a member of a country club.
But it's not.
This is your life.
It was not impossible to get out of that bunker. I took one swing and was out.
No, but it was impossible for someone who has golfed twice in their life.
Mace, by the way, did you like it? Were you a fan of just kind of getting out? It's an unbelievable sport. I just don't do it often. But do you see yourself at all trying to play game or play more golf?
I just don't. I don't think it would make me happy. I think it would piss me off every single time I hit a bad shot. I don't think I've got the zen to be able to play golf. Like, I don't know. I would just be so furious. I would be stuck in a moment. You know that U2 song, I'd be stuck in a moment. You hit a bad shot, and all of a sudden your whole round goes south. How do you avoid that, John?
It happens to me all the time. I don't avoid it.
But you hit a bad shot, and it does ruin your round?
Yeah, but the good news is when this match I have with Travis, is it's what they call match play. So if you play bad on one hole, you just get rid of that hole because Travis and I are competing to see who wins more holes.
Oh,
so
got it.
If I take like a 10 on a hole, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It only counts for one.
Right.
Okay, got it. No, that's not too bad. See, I was gonna. I said let's go out. I said to Juan, I said let's go out to an executive course and just whack it around a little bit.
Yeah, there are two of them right by where I live that you could play at that are both good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do too much damage on a par 3, can you? I probably can.
No,
I can probably do a lot of damage.
You might enjoy it. Well, you get to the outside with the elements.
So, Sliwa, what did you think of the LeBron stuff from last night?
Yeah, he was a little he definitely didn't like Brian Windhorst's tweet. I felt like
Which tweet did he not like?
Well, Windhorst mentioned that playing with Michael Jordan kind of not as a sidekick by any stretch of the imagination. I know what Windhorst was trying to say. More than anything else, it's like they would be a great complement to each other because Jordan's the one that, you know, always is going to shoot. That's his style of basketball. Where LeBron's always trying to make the smart pass or
right
trying to
play.
Be the quarterback on a team, the right play, like you mentioned there, John. So he kind of went a little, I guess he misinterpreted the tweet as if he'd rather play with a great than against the great. So he came back saying, no, I'd love to play against all the greats. But I think this is kind of the same thing that we did last week when we did that top 10 ranking.
Yep.
It's your preference, right? And even today, Stephen A. Smith was saying the conversation about Scottie Pippen, who would be a better fit with LeBron or with Michael Jordan, Scottie or LeBron? I feel like some of these conversations and we're trying to nitpick at the smallest things. LeBron's one of the greatest to ever play the game. I don't know where you guys have him in your all-time ranking, but, you know, he's going to be sitting top 5, top 4 at worst, right? Scottie Pippen, God bless him, amazing player, I think underrated. And I heard you, John, when you guys were on with Stephen A. a little bit earlier, saying that, you know, he is one of the more underrated players. It's like we appreciate all these guys, but at the end of the day, it's trying to, you know, trying to nitpick at these small things. It's almost a preference of what's your favorite movie of all time or what's your favorite type of food. It's so difficult to have those arguments, conversations, because it's going to come down to your preference.
Yeah, it's funny. I forget who said it this morning on Get Up. It might have been Tim Legler or Jay Billis, one of those guys. They said nobody – it comparisons like this happen in basketball all the time, but nobody ever compares Simone Biles to Olga Korbut. it's totally true. Like the comparisons in basketball are more direct than they are anywhere else. I guess quarterbacks, you can say, get compared against each other all the time. Baseball players, I guess pitchers, you can say, get compared together all the time. It's the more individual aspects of the sports, I guess, that do get compared. But I think that I've got in my list Jordan 1 and LeBron 2, you put them together, I think it'd be the greatest duo of all time.
Yeah, that right when I heard, you know, the conversation of Pippen or LeBron, I'm like, what are we arguing? How is that an argument? By the way, John, who do you put? Because I don't know if you heard Michael Thompson or you saw his, you know, his top 10 or whatever it is, but did you see who Michael put as number one?
No, but I've had this conversation with him many times. I would guess he put Kareem number one.
He did. He put Kareem as number one. Would you agree with him, or do you have Jordan at one or somebody else?
I think it's flip a coin between Jordan and LeBron. Jordan probably because he's 6-0 in the finals, but LeBron's not done yet. LeBron might finish Allen. He's going to be the only player ever to finish top five in both scoring and assists, and he might be number one in scoring and, you know, top three in assists all time. So, I mean, he's just – we've never seen anybody like him.
Well, and let's be frank. If he brings a championship to Los Angeles,
he'd be the first player ever to lead three different teams to a title. And when I say, like, Robert Horry won titles with three different teams, but he wasn't the best player. LeBron would have been the best player on three different championship teams if he pulled
and
it off.
That, I think, flips the conversation a little bit. Flips the conversation if he's able to pull that off here, God willing.
And John, I think nobody's ever won three finals MVPs on three different teams. So I think that, like you're mentioning, John, that would be the difference. Let's say you're talking about Horry or other players that won on three different teams. Of course, they were great role players. They weren't Michael Jordan. They weren't Magic. They weren't LeBron. But you know who's in that? Actually, what's kind of crazy, you know, Mace was in that same position.
Kawhi.
This season is Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi's
in the
same spot.
That's pretty remarkable to have these two LA teams where if one of those two teams won, they'd be the first to win three finals MVPs on three different teams.
All right, coming up next for you comes a special part of the show where Alan reads something, and then he tells us who's in the can, what interviews he's already pre-recorded. So coming up next, Alan reads something, who's in the can, and then Alan sets the stage for his. How long are you on now? What, 2 hours, 3 hours? What is it?
I go till midnight.
You go till midnight. Okay, Alan's on. He's apparently on for 5.5 hours.
Wow.
He will set up the next 5.5 hours when we
can't wait for my 11:30 interview.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Sliwa, read something.
Crosstalk on 710, powered by Power Pro and their cross-trade services, servicing plumbing.
Yeah,
air.
Power Pro.
Great power specials right now. $99 drain cleaning or $59 AC tune-up, which includes a safety inspection and a temporary disinfect for your HVAC system. Make an appointment today. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com.
Best thing about those Power Pro guys is it's like having a plumber on staff. If you live in an old house like me, you just call them and they show up and fix whatever problem you have. Yeah, my wife now has the number memorized, so if you need a plumber, call Power Pro.
You have so many plumbing problems.
I do. This house for an old house. And somebody pointed out yesterday, I said in the air, my house was almost 50 years old, and they said, your house is 40 years old. You don't even know how old your house is. And that's true. My house was built in 1983. So it's 37 years old, not 47 years old. It's had a lot of problems for a 37-year-old house.
John, if you ever need a place to crash, let me know. Plenty of room here.
Plenty of room in the 400-square-foot bourbon.
Yeah, plenty of space.
Yeah. with no dog, and do you have a trundle bed or a what's the bed that comes out of the wall, Mace? What's that called?
Murphy bed.
Murphy bed. What do you got? A Murphy bed going there, Sliwa?
No, I set up just like a little tent inside, just a little sleeping bag on the ground.
Sounds very romantic. All right, so it's come time where Alan tells us who's in the can.
What's in the can?
In other words, how many of his interviews tonight are taped, and how many are actually live? Alan, how many total interviews do you have planned for tonight?
Do you guys want to guess that one too?
No. Just tell us how many total, and then we'll do a
two variation. Interviews total.
Two interviews total. All right. So Mace, the in the can is set at a half.
A half.
Yeah, the over under at 1/2. I say under.
I say over. One of these suckers is recorded. Somebody from The Athletic.
Alan, what's the answer?
I love that. Mace always goes back to The Athletic. Okay, so we got two, both live. Both
yes!
Live, guys.
Both live.
Both live.
How did you do it, Alan?
I mean, yesterday, too, was three live.
Alan has turned a corner. He's afraid of the what's in the can segment.
So do you have Joe Schmo from the Philadelphia Inquirer?
No. Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Cleveland Plain Dealer. Who else you got?
I have him twice. I'm gonna do one topic and then a half hour later.
Lindsay said the Cleveland Plain Dealer no longer exists.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's Cleveland.com.
And she said they fired like 99% of the writers. This guy somehow survived?
No. That was on Friday. Remember we were doing that on Friday?
Bad.
So he has since been fired.
Okay, good. Bad bit. Or not good. I don't want to see anybody
get fired.
He has
since been fired.
So word has it, Meta at 7.
Get out of here. We've been trying to get Meta for weeks.
No, by the way, he changed his name again.
Meta Sandiford Artest.
Yeah, he still kept the name Meta.
Okay.
It's Meta...
Sanford.
Artest.
S-A-N-D-I-F-O-R-D. I think that's his wife's... He's taking his wife's name on that, and then still Artest. And then Scott Gleason, USA Today.
I love Scott.
How long have you known Scott? Just out of curiosity.
Scott and I go back... Let's see. We worked together in 98. On a project when he was at USA Today, and now I love what he's doing.
You still call him Scotty?
Scotty, yes.
Yeah, what is me up, Scotty?
Are you John? What do you do? You know who Scott Gleason is?
Of course. Who doesn't know who Scott Gleason is? What's wrong with you?
You guys are unbelievable.
Who is he?
USA Today. You guys need to do the over-under of
what's his subject?
He's the grandson of Jackie Gleason. We're going to talk about old Hollywood.
What does he know about? What are you having him on for? What's he do?
Bulls would not have won in 1999 if they all came back.
Oh, that's what Mason thinks.
Okay, that's a hot take. That's a hot take.
All right, now,
Sliwa,
you have a game prepared for us?
Let's do a game here real quick. Yeah, let's do a game here.
Yeah, you only got 4 minutes. You better jam it in quick.
It's all right. We'll get it done in 10. Funch, a little bit of music there, Funches. Oh, Jeopardy action there.
Jeopardy
action. Okay.
Very exciting.
All right, Lindsay, you want in?
Sure.
Okay.
I love playing these games.
By the way, I've now backed away from the microphone so I cannot be accused of overmodulating.
And I've turned mine way up.
Okay. So Mason, the deck is stacked for Mason right now.
Okay, I just thought of something. I don't know if I have enough here, Lindsay, for I think I would need 9. We're gonna roll with this anyway.
Just make it to 2.
Yeah, first guy to get 2.
Time to tick in.
Go.
You've got 3 minutes, so make it.
Describe the player.
Yeah.
You name the athlete.
Okay.
Okay.
This is just baseball players tonight.
Yeah,
so
just baseball players.
Just get to it.
Okay, here we go.
Good God, the setup.
Cy Young Award winner, plus Rookie of the Year in same season. Mexican.
Mason.
Steve.
Yeah, that's Fernando Valenzuela.
Okay, Valenzuela.
I easily had you beat on that.
Yeah, you didn't, but okay.
You want to try to get your $5,000 back?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Sliwa.
Okay. Catcher.
John.
You've narrowed it down to 1 million.
Yep.
Go ahead, John.
Johnny Bench.
Close. All right, let's keep going here. So now it's just, let's see.
Click on the trigger there, John.
12-time All-Star. Dodgers and Mets.
Oh, easy. Mason.
Go ahead, Mason.
Mike Piazza.
Okay. 2-0.
That the game's over. We're only playing.
No. We're going to three.
Okay, going to three.
Mason, he's trying to rob you of your victory.
Mason, do you want to just quit here? Or are you good with this or keep going?
You're kidding me? I'm taking the win.
Yeah, what's wrong?
All I want is to win.
Yeah, Sleeva, this is very planned.
One more.
No one wants to do one more. Okay, go ahead.
Career. 338 career average.
Lindsay.
One way to do it.
Are you ready for my guess?
Don't disrespect this man.
Are you ready? No, I've got the answer. Okay. Are you ready?
Poor
Lindsay. Tony Gwynn.
Oh, my gosh. Tony Gwynn. Look at you. I didn't even have to go 8-time NL batting champ.
Don't mess with me on Tony Gwynn trivia.
Does Lindsay get credit for that?
Of course she does.
Sure do.
On the board.
Yeah, I'm trying to take Mason's victory away from him by going two against one. Go ahead, Sleva.
Keep going. Ready?
Yeah.
First overall pick in the 2010 MLB draft. 13-year, $330 million deal.
John. Oh, no, Lindsay. Sorry. Give Lindsay credit. I think this is Bryce Harper.
It is. I think it is, too.
Two to two, guys. This is coming down to the wire here.
Okay. Wow.
Lindsay coming out of nowhere.
They've ganged up on me.
Yep.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Guest of the Mason and Ireland show.
John. Or Lindsay. John / Lindsay. You ready?
Go ahead.
This is for Lindsay's win. Cal Ripken Jr.
What a comeback.
Oh. Lindsay wins it.
Impressive.
What a comeback.
Great job, Lindsay.
Oh, that was
John,
fantastic.
How did you do that?
That was fantastic.
I've been staying up late studying statistical books. I'm channeling Steve Hartman.
Oh, that was fantastic. Well, Sleva, you know what they say.
Sleva, what time is it?
6:24.
And we hit the door. We're back tomorrow, 2:55. Sleva's now 7:10 ESPN.